from Spark and Anvil and Escape Forge. This is Beat, in Chapter 1 of the Escape Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. The door in front of Beat had 9 glowing buttons and no instructions. She was a kangaroo rat tween, small, sand-colored, quick on her feet, with a palm-sized wooden drum strapped to her wrist. The buttons had blinked at her twice already, a fast little run of lights, left to right, with a hitch in the middle, and then gone dark, waiting. Most kids would have started jabbing buttons. Beat didn't. She lifted 2 fingers to the taut hide of her drum, and so softly you could barely hear it, tapped along with what she remembered. Tap, tap, tap. Pause. Tap, tap, tap. Her ears twitched. There it was, the little gap, always in the same place. 3, then a rest, then 3, she murmured, and pressed the buttons in that order. The door sighed open. Beat grinned and blew across the top of her drum like it was a cup of something warm. She hadn't been born knowing this. She'd learned it at harvest, standing barefoot in the threshing yard when she was 6. Her family were the village pulse keepers. It wasn't glamorous work. Nobody carved songs about the folks who kept time. But on threshing day, 40 people swung their flails together, and if the beat wavered, someone caught a flail with their shin. So her grandmother stood on the low wall and tapped a drum. Thump, swish, thump, swish, steady as a sleeping chest. "Put your hand here," her grandmother had said, pressing tiny Beat's palm flat against the drum skin. Beat felt each thump travel up her arm and settle behind her ribs. She started tapping her own foot without deciding to, and she understood in the way a small kid understands a big thing all at once. Everything else in the whole loud yard was built on top of this one quiet repeating thing. Find the repeat, and you could stand in the middle of any chaos and know exactly what came next. She practiced on everything after that. The drip of the rain gutter, the click of her cousin's knitting. She couldn't stop. She was 22 when she walked up the long road to the Escape Forge Academy, drum still on her wrist. Latch, who ran the place, met her at a table covered in little tin bells arranged in a crooked row. He didn't ask her to explain herself. He just tipped one bell, then another, then 2 more, in a pattern. Ding, 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 and looked at her. Beat's fingers were already moving on her drum before she thought about it. She listened to her own tapping, closed her eyes, and reached out and rang the next 2 bells. Ding, 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 exactly on time. Latch's ears went up. "You didn't count them out loud." "I did," Beat said, just quietly. "My hands count better than my mouth," she patted the drum. "This holds the rhythm so my brain can hear it. Then the next bell's just there, waiting." Latch was quiet a moment. Then he pushed the row of bells toward her and said, "The sequence room is yours." Her room glowed with slow-moving patterns of light. On her first day teaching, she never opened with a speech. She tapped, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, until the students' heads bobbed a little, and only then put a screen up on the wall. On it, square, circle, square, circle, square, and a blinking question mark. "Don't guess yet," she said. "Tap it out with me. Tap your leg if you don't have a drum." She touched the drum for each shape. Tap, square, tap, circle, tap, square. Around the room, kids patted their knees. "Now, what stays the same and what changes?" A student named Pip's hand shot up. "It's changing, square, circle, square, circle." "So the change is the rule," Beat said, delighted. "The shapes take turns. Once you know the rule, the next one isn't a mystery, it's just next. So, circle," Pip shouted. The question mark bloomed into a circle. Pip made a small, surprised noise, like the answer had been hiding right behind the door the whole time. Then Beat tapped out a trickier one, 3 fast, then a rest, then 3 fast, and let a girl in the back try a rule that turned out wrong.
The girl's shoulders dropped. Beat crossed the room and crouched beside her. "That's not a miss," she said gently. "That's information. You just found one rule it isn't. Fewer left to check now. Tap it again. Where's the rest?" The girl tapped, found the gap she'd skipped, and pressed the right button. The screen chimed. Her shoulders came back up.
Long after the students had gone, Pip lingered by the door. "Beat, what if a sequence is too fast to feel?" Beat sat down on the floor beside her and tapped very slowly. 1, 2, 3. "Then you slow it down until you can. You don't have to be quick. You have to be patient enough to hear the same thing come around again." She tipped her head. "Sequences have a heartbeat. If you can't hear it yet, get quieter, not faster." Pip nodded slowly and tapped along. 1, 2, 3. Until she was smiling without knowing why. When Pip finally scampered off, Beat stayed on the cool floor a moment longer, drum resting against her chest, feeling the small tap travel inward. That warm, settled glow of a rhythm you'd almost lost, found again and steady.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to BEAT. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.